Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
Did you see it?
You know what? I did. I thought of you as soon as I did.
Did you guys see it?
No.
You didn't see the moon this morning?
I completely forgot.
I saw the moon, but it wasn't anything super or blue.
It's close. It's big.
It's pretty super.
Yeah.
I completely forgot.
You walk here. You've got more time than anybody else to look up.
And I walked past Blue Moon Pizza. You thought that was reminding me.
That's funny. Now,
if you want to take a second, like when it's safe this morning, you know, and you're not in your car and maybe you're in the parking lot on the way into the building or whatever, just look up because the moon is really amazing this morning.
I was pulling out my driveway and it was like beaming at me. And as soon as I pulled out of the neighborhood, like there it was staring at me. And when I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's pretty impressive. I'll give it to Bert. He has every right to be excited.
I for sure thought we were going to come in and bond over this today.
You and I did.
Yeah, we did.
I wish I would have took some pictures or something.
It's still there, dude.
It's still there?
It's still there. Yep. Go check it out.
I want to see it because I swear I made a point this morning to look up at the moon, uh-huh. But I remember thinking, oh, I must have missed it because it looks normal size. It just looked like a regular moon to me. But I was looking at like a light bulb.
I think last night at 9:30 was supposed to be like the optimal time to look at it. So even this morning, it's beautiful, but you missed the window.
Yeah, I tried, but my apartment complex blocked it. So anyway, maybe in 2037.
So Katie might have solved her neighborhood mystery. It has been going on for a while now, and maybe mystery solved.
It's not quite solved. The mystery is still here. I'm trying to figure out the mystery and if I should do something about it. So I've told you all before that my mom has now called me the neighborhood Karen. apparently I'm in everyone's business and I shouldn't be. But I think that I'm just the neighborhood who wants to be aware what goes on in my neighborhood. That's what you're supposed to do.
We call you the self-appointed sheriff. There's always one in every neighborhood. There's a sheriff in town making sure everything's okay and safe, peeking through the blinds. Definitely not minding our own business.
No, not at all. But at least I'll know what's going on across the street.
No, you won't know what's going on. You will believe whatever scenario you've concocted in your head. That's what's happening.
Yes. Okay. You might be right with that. So occasionally, I have also deemed myself the neighborhood watch that no one asked for. So I will, you know, randomly drive around my neighborhood just to see what's going on.
Are you serious?
What?
Yes.
You have nothing else to do.
You're that person.
Yes.
And what are you looking for?
Just anything. I just want to be aware of what's going on in my neighborhood, you know? Like, so to be in the know, I drive around a little bit sometimes.
You going to buy patrol lights from Amazon?
No, right?
You going to get yourself a little badge?
How far is this going to go?
Don't get me started.
One of those converted police cars that don't have, like, the police logo, but it still has, like, the lights on the side, so you can tell it used to be a police car.
Okay, whatever. So I've noticed that there's this one neighbor her house is in the front of the neighborhood. So when you come in, it's all about curb appeal in my neighborhood, right? In the HOA, they don't play games with your yard and the standards. And she typically is on it. She has a nice garden. She lives by herself. And she's always in her yard doing yard work. Her yard is pretty. It's one of the top five yards in the neighborhood, right? Don't you
know? I'm sorry.
I can see you planting a sign, like voluntarily going, third place, best yard. The Katie Award.
Well, for like the last month, it seems like she's neglected her yard. Like the yard is just grown wild. Uh-oh. It's like unattended. Uh-oh. And
so now you're starting to think like she's inside the house and she died and her cats are eating her?
Yes. And so then at first I wasn't thinking anything. Maybe she's out of town. Maybe she just, you know, switched lawn people. I don't know. But then as her yard progressively got worse, I decided to do more patrolling. And she has a fence, but her fence has gaps. And you can see in between the gaps a little bit.
How close did you get to said gaps, Katie?
A little close.
You put your head through the gaps.
I didn't walk on her yard. I was on the sidewalk.
With my binoculars.
And there's like this random SUV in her backyard. And her whole yard is grass. Like there's no way that it would be like, oh, I'm just like, it looks like a car is being hidden. And I think that something's going on in her house. And I don't know if I need to investigate further. I want to. And my friends are like, well, maybe she's okay. Maybe she's not. But Katie might need to leave it alone. And I'm like, this is unusual behavior for neighbor number five. And then, you know, top five neighborhood.
Okay, so let's stop pretending that this is even a question if you're going to do something about it or not. Based on everything you've told us the last 3.5 minutes, you're going to do something about it. So
go knock on the door and just be like, hey, I just wanted to come and check on you and see how you're doing.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How should I approach this?
That's
because
what I would do.
I'm actually a concerned neighbor.
Yeah. I would go and I would knock on the door. And if she answers, then you know she's alive. And just be like, yeah, hi. Have you all ever met?
No.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay. I just know of her. Like, I know what she looks like and stuff
don't,
like that.
Don't you need, like, neighborhood watch backup to do that or something? You do that on your own? Is that safe?
You want to drive out there?
I do not.
I think just, or bringing something over there. Is it that unusual to bring something over to somebody's house anymore?
You said you've always admired her yard, right?
Yes.
Okay, go knock on that door. Be like, hi, I'm Katie. I'm one of your neighbors. I've always admired your yard. Is there a particular lawn service you use? Because I'd like to maybe check them out.
You got a million excuses. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to do that because I'm really worried.
Okay. Okay. Tell your Girl Scout, you're selling cookies. Just knock on that door, right?
You guys want some cookies?
The Burt Show.
All right, we have some leftover from yesterday, so Kristen gets to be stupid back-to-back days. This was too good for just one day.
It really honestly was. The Would You Rather Horrible Mother-in-Law Edition. When I tell you, my husband doesn't often bring up stuff that we do on the show, but when I got home yesterday, he was like, those mother-in-law stories. And I'm like, I know, right? Tell me about it. So yes, we do have more because these were plentiful on the internet. I'm going to give you two scenarios of real mother-in-laws, and you're going to have to pick the one you would rather have. So the less of two evils. My fiance and I have been together for 8 years, and I've always felt that his mother doesn't like me. He had a plan to propose to me, which involved taking a trip. He had told his mother of this plan, and the day before we were supposed to leave for our trip, she suddenly came down with appendicitis. We obviously canceled our trip. She had surgery to have her appendix taken out. Since it was COVID, nobody could be in the hospital to visit her. Now, I worked at a doctor's office, which is one she attended. The emergency room faxed over the report from her hospital stay. When I handed the report to the doctor, I told him that she'd had her appendix taken out. 10 minutes later, he called me into his office and corrected me. He told me the report said she had gone to the hospital for back pain and there was no surgery.
Oh, she faked it so they wouldn't go. Oh, you're a terrible person.
I kept this to myself because I didn't want to upset my fiance.
Wow.
You better than me.
Yeah.
I would have framed that, put it in the house.
You guys know how I feel about vacations. Those are like gold bars, man.
A vacation where he was going to propose.
Oh, you're the worst.
Oh, my God. That is horrible.
Now, here's a little additional note. Not long after that, karma came to bite her. She actually had appendicitis and had to get her appendix removed.
Get out.
And while they were at the hospital, she and her fiance were there. And she asked the doctor, can your appendix grow back? Because she's already had hers taken out. And the son had to leave the room because at that point he knew she had lied about getting her appendix
taken
out.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Universe took care of that one.
It did.
All right. That one versus on the first night that I spent in their home, my mother-in-law got the trash basket from my husband's bathroom and went nosing around to see if there were any condoms. She put one after another on the coffee table, waited for us to get home from lunch, and asked, "Is this the way you want to give me a grandchild? 8 condoms mean that there could have been 8 chances for you to give me a grandchild."
Oh my God.
What?
"From this moment on, condoms are forbidden in this house."
These are real people.
She ended up ending the relationship and ridding herself of the nosy mother-in-law.
I would take condom mother-in-law over you robbed me of vacation mother-in-law.
Yep, give me the condom, mother-in-law too.
I'm going condom because that's just nasty and weird. But yeah, if you ruin my vacation and my proposal, I'm going to be peeved.
Yes. I just want to remind you guys that you all chose the mother-in-law that touched your used condoms.
This is a dirty
game. That's a her problem.
Yeah, that's not an us problem, right?
All right, this one's a doozy too. This is just an all-around horrible person. "I am happily married now. However, my mother-in-law is a whole other story. After our wedding, my father-in-law's health declined and he went into a coma. My husband and I paid 100% of his parents' expenses from the U.S. by working 3 jobs each. Her mother-in-law and father-in-law live in India. But my mother-in-law lied about the cost. She told us that her husband needed certain meds and would ask us to send more money. She would then use the money to fund local trips that she hid from us. She ordered a new TV, microwave, fridge, and phone. When we visited India and asked her about the new items, she would tell us she got them in exchange for items that she had sold, like her jewelry. My naive husband believed her. Meanwhile, my father-in-law was no longer in a coma, but was paralyzed from the chest down. When our child was born, my mother-in-law insisted that we visit India so her husband can see his grandchild. My husband was the only one paying the bills at this point, so we couldn't stay to visit anymore. He had to go back to the U.S., but my mother-in-law asked him to let me stay for mental support. When I finally came back home, I discovered that she'd stolen money from my bank account in India. She was having an affair and spending the money on her boyfriend. My father-in-law passed away and she came to stay with us in the U.S. for a few weeks, at which point I finally broke down and told my husband everything. I had proof and family members who witnessed her behavior and saw her with her boyfriend."
Damn. Wow.
Oh, man.
That is low.
It is low. All right. This one versus the salad.
The salad.
"My husband got an angry email from his mother, my mother-in-law, because we fed our 13-year-old child a salad. The email reads, Zachary is now a 13-year-old, which means he is on the edge of being a young man. A real young man, no longer a child. I saw on Facebook how he was forced to eat lettuce. He has been made to eat things he hasn't wanted to eat for at least the last 5 years of his life. As his father, I ask you to look at this from a different perspective, from the point of view that he is growing up and this could be causing him harm. I'm sure being forced to eat lettuce has caused a lot of anger and rage in his heart."
I don't know that I disagree. I think I'd rather have dad. Dad and the salad.
Dad and salad?
Yeah.
Give me the salad, mother-in-law,
I'm
for sure.
Salad.
I ain't that mad at her.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Have you guys seen that naked photo of Bad Bunny going around the internet?
Yes.
I have not.
I missed it.
It is spicy. So Bad Bunny shared a seemingly normal mirror pic of him on social media. And I say seemingly normal because it's sort of a dark photo. It's a silhouette of his upper body in the mirror. And it looks like he just got done with a workout. Mm-hmm. But then the internet girlies came to play and they found out that if you turned up the brightness to a certain level, not only can you see Bad Bunny and his very chiseled chest, he's putting in the work, but you can also see his little Benito. And, and the girlies did not come to play because it has been circulating the internet like crazy. And I feel split about this for a couple of reasons. The first is that he posted that photo not with the intent for anyone to see his little Benito. However, he still made the decision to post kind of a scandalous photo. Now it's going around. I feel kind of like I'm violating him when I see it. You know what I mean?
Can you see his little Benito, or can you just see the forest that surrounds it?
I saw the little Benito.
Okay. Oh, really?
At least that it's the top. You can't see the bottom of it, but you can see the top part of it.
So, he posted it. It's not like he got hacked and somebody went into his phone or his computer or whatever. And you have to realize when you post a picture like that, people are going to manipulate it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that to me is internet common sense, especially if you're a person of that magnitude, of that level of stardom, and you did it to yourself.
He got the thirst trap you wanted, man.
Yes. I mean, it's 100% a thirst trap that he's posting. But yeah, all you had to do was you screen capture it, you save it, you take it into your photo editor, and then you start moving around with contrast and brightness, and then bam.
Hey, it is. Did it to yourself.
I remember years ago, Brad Pitt, he wasn't taking a picture of himself, but I think somebody took a picture of him from like one of those paparazzi yachts that are like a mile and a half off the coast, and then they focused in on him and he was totally naked. And I remember us coming in here and me going, my God, you know, Brad Pitt is really gifted in a whole bunch of different areas. And then all the women going, no, it's not really impressive. And then me going, yeah, it's not. For sure it's not.
Yeah, it's the same way. Yeah, honestly, I'm just impressed that the girlies even thought about this, because I saw it and I'm like, he looks good. It's a great silhouette. They definitely got a little,
they wanted more.
See, women are as creepy as dudes.
Absolutely.
Are.
Oh, easily. Absolutely. Okay, I normally wouldn't promote other podcasts that weren't ours on the show, but I do feel like this one is going for a good cause. So all of the major late night talk show hosts are doing a podcast to help pay their staff who can't work due to the SAG-AFTRA strike. It's Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, and John Oliver. They are going to host Strike Force 5.
One more time, Jimmy.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Fallon.
I'm Stephen Colbert.
I'm Jimmy Kimmel. I thought when you said Jimmy, you meant me, Jimmy, but you meant Jimmy, Jimmy.
I always mean you.
But when you
I
say
always
Seth,
be-
Seth Meyers, who do you mean?
I mean John Oliver.
It's the five of us together for maybe an hour a day.
Strike Force 5 is the name of our podcast. Subscribe to it now.
Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're going to be much competitors, but I do love the fact that they are coming out and doing this to try and help their staff, because I can imagine it's so frustrating as somebody in the entertainment industry. Like, you want to do your job. You want to get out there and work, but you literally can't, because then you'd be backstabbing everybody else in the union.
And these guys, obviously, they make the most out of everybody, and they have very, very generous salaries. So for them to do this and take all that money and put back into, I am still shocked that the strike is still going on.
I totally forgot about it until a couple of days ago, actually.
I mean, this has felt like, I mean, for us, it feels like it's been a long time. I can imagine for the people who haven't seen a paycheck in months and months and months, it's felt like an eternity.
You know, we keep saying this, and it's a good reminder that most of Hollywood isn't Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon. It's people working at Fridays that are getting side jobs, and those are the ones that aren't making a lot of money, and they're just trying to get a little bit more, and the industry is just not having it.
Yeah, even Selena Gomez posted something on her Instagram, and people got kind of mad at her because you're not supposed to promote your projects, and so she had to delete it. And it also just sucks because there's already been so much work that's gone on into shows that have come out or are coming out, and it kind of feels like you don't even get to celebrate, you know, a new season or a new project that you might be really proud of. So it just really sucks all around. Jimmy Kimmel actually said he was going to retire before the strike happened. But he said, you know, this whole strike thing is reminding me how nice it is to work. So I think I'm going to extend it a couple more years. The cast of The Golden Bachelor is out, and a former Bachelor's mom will compete in it. I'll fill you in on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Trigger warning for Kristen. We're going to talk about bad wedding planners.
Oh, okay. Did you have a bad wedding planner?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Did she? Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't really see the whole project through.
She may have left.
During your wedding?
During the reception, yeah. Before it was over.
She had a bit of a commitment problem.
She had one job.
Yeah.
Literally her one job.
Oh, yeah. There's some things like leading up to it and the day of, and it was an ass show, to say the least.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Vendors didn't get paid. Certain things didn't get done. Yeah, the dog cookies, because we had a sign that had my husband and I holding hands and the dogs in between with a, there had little signs around their neck that said, thank you. And then there was another sign that's supposed to go next to it explaining that these are treats for your pet. If you have a pet, whatever. And those were going away, like as people were walking out, like a little something to grab. Well, that other sign explaining that these were dog treats didn't get put out.
So people were eating the dog treats?
Some of our very drunken guests chowed down on some dog treats.
Oh.
Thinking they were the worst cookies they've ever eaten in their entire lives. And we're like, yeah, no, you ate a dog treat.
Luckily, you had enough bourbon there.
Yes.
And most people didn't care. But in any industry, you have to think about this. Mathematically, there has to be the best and there has to be the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, there's the best DJ, probably Ryan Seacrest, and then there's us. On the other end. Mo will make you feel better about your wedding planner, okay?
Please.
It was literally why I submitted the story, because you were the first person that came to my mind when I saw it, and it went viral, and I was like, maybe this will make Kristen feel a little better, because I don't know if a wedding planner has ever been this bad.
Fun fact, it did. It did.
So good. So this went viral. Women everywhere were furious because, I mean, you can imagine how bad this had to be. But there was a wedding planner who was in a hotel room and getting the bride ready to get married. And she had the idea, for whatever reason, to hang the wedding dress on the sprinklers that are in the hotel room. And it broke the sprinklers.
No.
So the sprinklers ended up going off.
Oh, no.
In the room.
Oh, bro.
It damaged everything. It damaged the wedding dress. It damaged the makeup. It damaged the hair for, like, not only the bride, but all of the women that were in the wedding. It damaged makeup and equipment. The equipment, I guess, was the cost of $3,000 alone.
For the makeup artist, because it ruined every bit of makeup she brought.
That doesn't even, like, count for the wedding dress and all of the other things. Mm-hmm. I mean, the luggage, everything that you brought, soaking wet. So, like, everyone's suitcases were open, I guess, around the room. So it even ruined, like, the clothes that you bought. She did end up going through with the wedding, but she had to get married in, like, her reception dress. Everybody kind of had to wear anything that they had that wasn't already ruined. And to make matters even worse, the hotel room is in the bride's name. So she's responsible for all of the damages that were caused to the hotel room. So she's going to have to sue the wedding planner in order to try to get the money to even pay for the damages to the hotel room.
Oh, my God. If you watch the video... And it's a bonehead move. It's like common sense. You never hang anything on the fire sprinkler.
Also,
right?
Is this like a 7-foot wedding planner? Like, those things are up there. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just like a coat hanger.
And so when you watch, it's like they're walking and it's splashing. The room that's flooded.
Flood.
And then one goes into like a room because it's like a suite. And it's just a torrential downpour.
Damn.
And everything. Everybody is sopping wet. They had just gotten their hair and makeup done.
No.
Everything was ruined.
So wedding planner has to pay for all that, right? Eventually.
No, she don't have to. You have to go after her.
You
gotta
sue her. And I guess she couldn't cancel the wedding, which everyone was like, why not just postpone it? But she said the majority of her family was from out of the country. So they couldn't. There was no way to redo the wedding. She had to go through with it.
I would be walking down the aisle in a sopping wet wedding dress.
Really?
I seriously would. Those things are so expensive. And
can't you just take a hair dryer to it?
Sure. Silly bird.
Put it in a microwave?
Go to the hotel and be like, can you tumble dry this just for like 10 minutes, please? Should be totally fine.
I mean, in a case like this, the wedding planner should volunteer to pay for everything, right?
She should, but
she probably won't.
Yeah.
I would imagine she would.
No,
she won't.
I would hope if she owns a legitimate business, then she's probably insured. And that should cover it.
Damn.
I wonder if it would cover her funeral after I killed her.
Did you ever rectify any of the situations with your wedding planner?
No, never talked to her again.
Never talked to her again.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and I don't think the bus people ever got paid either.
No way.
Because I gave her that money and she was supposed to give it to him, and
no.
He never got paid.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad. It was really bad.
Is she still a wedding planner? Is she still doing this for a living?
I do not think so.
Okay.
I am 99% sure that is not the case. And then there was one family member who didn't speak to me for years because they thought we purposely sent them their invitations late so they wouldn't attend. But there were 15 invitations that she forgot and got hidden on a desk that didn't get sent out.
Oh, my God.
Amen.
How bad can you be?
This is it.
We were supposed to have like confetti, like cannons, when we walked out of the reception. Those were nowhere. There were supposed to be silver trays of White Castle as people walked out. Those never got ordered. Were never there.
Oh, man.
Flowers didn't get displayed for the ceremony. Most of the flowers were missing that were supposed to be on the aisle and on the pews. The boutonnieres and the stuff for like the... my niece and nephews, those like got left in a bathroom or somewhere and we couldn't have had a hard time. It was just one thing after another.
I will say this as somebody that attended. Yeah. I mean, for you, you knew what wasn't there.
Yeah.
It was one of the best weddings I've ever attended.
I really
nobody knew anything.
Nobody. Everybody had the best time. Like it was a great wedding, but knowing everything that happened behind the scenes. Yeah. And we had a meeting the next morning, like she and her boyfriend and partner came to the room and I'm like, what happened? And I got this.
Wow.
There was no apology. There was like,
did you blast her on Google reviews?
No, because we were friends.
You were friends?
We were friends.
The plot thickens.
Yeah.
What?
And she left your reception early?
Yes, she did.
I am stunned.
And you're not friends anymore. You guys haven't spoken since.
We haven't spoken since.
That's it.
The Burt Show.
All right, we call it Follow-Up Thursday. You guys remind us of Burt Show storylines that we haven't closed yet. And in this case, it's from Joyce Ward. He says, yo, Burt Show. Longtime listener on Facebook. Not sure if you've already done a follow-up to this one, but it was posted on July of 2022. Title was something along the lines of, she wants proof that her sister's fiance isn't the man he says he is. And I need to know what happened. Thanks for the consideration, Joyce. Kristen's going to recap it right now.
I am going to recap it right now. I got lost in my schedule. Sorry. All right. So Leah hated the man her sister was planning on marrying. She thought he was a narcissistic rude a-hole. She wanted proof of him cheating in hopes that it would put an end to their upcoming wedding. But her plan backfired after he called her out on air with this message. Sending you roses because thorns seem appropriate for such a bleeping prick like you. I'll make sure your sister is listening to hear what a meddling bee you are. I am not, never have, nor ever will cheat on your sister so you can mind your own bleeping business.
Uh-oh.
I forgot all about
it. Uh-oh. It's the uh-oh bouquet.
As expected, her sister was pissed when she found out what Lee did behind her back. Last we heard, Lee skipped the wedding and refused to apologize to her sister. We suggested they have a sit-down meeting with family and apologize. Did she take our advice, or is she still at odds with her family?
Mo has answers.
Hey, Burt Show. I actually do have an update for you all. So, as much as I hate to say, I told you so, and trust me, it's bittersweet. It seems I had a point about my sister's now soon-to-be ex-husband.
No.
So, I kept my distance after all of the chaos. We didn't really talk much this past year. Actually, we barely talked at all. Around Christmas, I overheard from our cousin, had to get the updates from family gossip because we weren't on speaking terms, that there was some major drama happening in their marriage. Turns out, Mr. Wonderful wasn't so wonderful after all. He had not just been seeing another woman. He had multiple side women. They separated right after New Year's. As of now, their divorce is in the works. I guess the silver lining is that they are divorcing now and not years from now when the kids could be involved. The downside, even though I was right, it hasn't magically fixed our relationship. We're still pretty distant. I genuinely hope that in time, things will change. But for now, things are still rocky. So, there you have it. Not the happiest update, but life's complicated, right? Hope you all are doing better in the love department than my sis and I. Sending love.
At the end of the day, though, she gets bragging rights.
She
was right. I mean, she'll never say it.
You cannot say
it. But they both know that she was right.
They'll be in my eyes when I look at you.
That's how you'll be able to see it in my eyes. All right, Abby, dudes are separated into two categories, you feel.
Yes, there are puka shell boys and there are cross necklace boys. There's no different. That you are either one or the other.
And what is a puka shell necklace boy and what is a cross necklace boy?
I'm so glad you asked, Kristen, because I'm here to tell you.
Please.
So this is a video that got shared in my group chat and all of my friends realized that you only have one of two types. You either date the type of guy who wears a puka shell necklace or you only date the type of guy who wears a silver cross necklace. These are the only two types of necklace that boys wear.
What about a spiked dog collar necklace for the punk rock boys?
Who's wearing that?
I have nobody.
But that's my
nobody I know.
But that's my point. Go to a public setting and look around. You will only see men wear one of two types of necklaces, at least that we've noticed. And this is from a TikTok clip that we got from Brooke and Connor Start a Podcast. These are very popular TikTokers, and they decided to decide which celebrities would be puka shell necklace guys or silver cross necklace guys. And I think maybe it'll make a little bit more sense when you hear examples.
There's four categories of man.
So puka shell, cross necklace, and then puka shell wants to be cross necklace, and cross necklace who wants to be puka shell.
100%. I have some guys that I'm going to give you, and you can tell me what you think they are, and I'll let you know if I agree or not.
Okay.
Okay, PETA from The Hunger Games.
I think he's puka shell wants to be cross necklace.
Really? I was going to say just puka shell. What part of him do you think is wanting to be cross vibes?
I don't know. Like, he had that whole stage where he wanted to be, like, really cool.
Yeah.
And he, like, had the spotlight and he loved it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Here's kind of a hard one.
Okay.
Harry Potter.
I knew you were going to do Harry.
You did?
Yeah. This is so hard. I, like, I've never been faced with something so hard. I feel like he is maybe a cross necklace.
Agree 100%.
Which is really scary to say.
But don't you think Ron is puka shell completely? Mm-hmm. I feel like male friendships, there's always like a cross and a puka.
So the thought of Ron Weasley wearing a puka shell necklace.
But you can see it, right? So it makes sense. And so I feel like the perfect example is I feel like Mo is a cross necklace guy and Bert is a puka shell
guy. For sure. Back in the day, I was wearing pukas all the time, but it was back in the day in California.
Okay, what's Tommy? Tommy is a puka shell guy.
No, the hell I ain't.
How about intern Mikey?
Intern Mikey? I don't know. I don't know if intern Mikey is a necklace guy, period. He might be the exception.
I love puka, man.
I think he's a puka but wants to be a cross.
He might be he might be one of those macaroni necklace guys.
Oh, ouch.
He's never coming in again.
Oh, my God.
Out of all the things we made him do, this is it.
The Bert Show.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you always feel like you should eat more at an all-you-can-eat buffet?
Duh.
Like the pressure is on, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to spend $20, I'm going to go in this line two or three times. I'm walking out of here stuffed, right?
Well, also then I get like food ADD where I'm like, oh, I want to try that. And that looks good. And that looks really good. And I don't want to not try that even though it's over there and I've had too much. You got to try everything.
I feel the same way when you go somewhere and drinks are free, which is why people get hammered in first class.
Right. So there was a TikToker and her video is going viral right now because she's like, you know what? I want to put this whole thing to the test, this all-you-can-eat buffet. So she decided she was going to stay in the restaurant for 12 hours eating, on and off, 12 hours. So she would go up, she would eat, go back to her table, wait, have a couple of drinks, go back to the buffet. Right? And she wanted to see if she could pull it off for 12 straight hours.
From open to close.
From open to close.
So after 2.5 hours, breakfast ended, I got up to get lunch food, and when I came back to my table, they took away my drink and silverware, but I sat down and ate anyway. My waitress said she's sorry, she thought I left, but you only have to pay one time, and you can eat and drink as long as you want, but she started bringing me tons and tons of refills. I think she's trying to make me full so I would leave, but I'm not falling for that.
So she stays in there, and she says they were actually pretty nice about it.
3 p.m., the manager came up to me and told me dinner starts in an hour, so he has to start moving the tables. I helped him move mine. My waitress said her shift is ending soon, so I gave her tip, and I moved to the other side of the restaurant. I was in line getting dinner, then the manager waved for me to come and talk to him. I thought he was going to kick me out since I'd been there for 8 hours. He just asked me to switch tables again and told me to go back and get my food. I couldn't believe it. I appreciate him for letting me stay there for 10 hours.
She pulled it off, man.
Wow. I'm shocked they were so nice to her.
Well,
kudos.
My guess is they're like, if a person's doing this, they must really need the food.
Right. Yeah. As long as you want. And she helped move the table, so she was accommodating, right? All right, so she is dating a dude that has a tattoo of his ex-girlfriend's name, and it's driving her absolutely crazy. He has no intention of removing it, and now she's wondering, should I ditch this dude, or should I continue to date him? Started dating this guy recently who's all sorts of charming. Not only is he gorgeous, but he's the funniest person I've ever met. Not possible. Not possible. It can't be. You can't be good looking and that funny. That to me is probably the hottest and most important quality in a guy. We recently started to get more intimate and I got to see his tattoos. Mm. Well, he's got this pretty elaborate tattoo of his ex. Not just a name, but it's like this whole artsy compass design where the needle points to her name. Pretty unique. I'll give him that. It actually said live, and at first I thought it was missing the E or something. I thought maybe the compass was meant to remind him to live his life or some other poetic interpretation.
It's an easy fix, though, if you ever want to fix it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, let's put an E on there, right? I asked him the meaning behind the tattoo, and that is when he told me that live is his ex-girlfriend, Olivia. Oh. At that point, I assumed he had plans to get it removed or changed in some way. I asked which one he planned to do, change it, remove it. He said he doesn't plan on doing anything or covering it up or removing it, nothing. He says he likes the tattoo and that the name is just a chapter of his life. He says he sees no reason why he should get it removed. He says that they didn't have a bad breakup and he feels no negative emotions when he sees it. He thinks it's unnecessary to remove it and that changing it to do something else seems silly. He says it would just be a tattoo with a made-up message just to cover up a name. Well, I guess I don't think I'd love the idea of someone I'm in a relationship with having a permanent shrine on his skin to an ex. Am I overthinking it, or is this tattoo situation a red flag? Would love to know your thoughts. Do I keep sailing with Captain Compass or abandon ship? In need of some navigation, she says, pun intended, Leslie, 1-855-VIRT-SHOW. All right, Mo, what would you do?
Well, I'm not mad at him for feeling like he wants to keep it. That's his prerogative, but if I'm being honest and I'm the person that's in the relationship, you're going to probably have to live alone, because I don't think I could do this. It would bother me. Something about it mentally would just always bother me to know you have somebody else's name tattooed on you.
Would you have rather he lied about the meaning?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would have been better off with that.
If he just would have made something up and then she never would have been any the wiser and just leave it at that.
Which would have been so easy for him to do. Like, you could have turned live into so many different things, but yeah, the honesty would have threw me.
She'd have figured it out at some point because he would have like been talking about his ex-girlfriend in a couple of months and said Olivia. She wouldn't have thought anything of it. And then 11 o'clock at night, she would have been like, Olivia, live! Live! That tattoo is live! She'd have figured it out.
Well, I'm assuming if you didn't see it until y'all started getting a little bit more intimate, it's probably in a very intimate area. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say, if I saw that every time we were getting busy, mm-hmm. and I had this constant reminder of your ex, Olivia, who I probably stalked on all forms of social media, so I know what she looks like, I know what she does, I know where she lives, I know what her blood type is, it would really start to bother me. But if this guy is funny and he's gorgeous, girl, you got to take one for the team and just stick it out. You got to like pick and choose your battles, right?
Yeah. You ain't going to win this one, girl.
This would absolutely drive me nuts.
I wouldn't ditch him.
You'd have to make it real dark in that room.
Yeah, well, I think that is a huge, huge, huge ask to ask somebody to alter their body for you. And that's essentially what she's asking him to do. Like, it's part of his past. You shouldn't be ashamed of your past or who you've been with. This was his way of commemorating that. Some people make scrapbooks. Some people get names tattooed on their body, you know?
Well, there must have been something special about her because it's not like he's got 12 names all over his body.
Well, so here's the thing. I this is not a ditch scenario for me yet. I would continue to date him. But at some point in time, if he does not put my name on his body, then we got an issue, and then I got to ditch you.
I would just say, every time we're about to do it, you got to put this gauze on, dude. You got to cover that thing up.
How long do you wait? I'm curious. Like, what would the timeline be on that?
The timeline, it's a great question.
However long it took with Liv.
You would ask.
No, yeah. We better be sooner than Liv.
Hold on a second. Jenny here says we're all stupid. Hey, Jenny, good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So listen, so here's what I think, right? So listen to the fact of, so he made the comment, you know, hey, this was a chapter of my life, right? And that chapter, it's over for him, right? It ended on a good note for him. It didn't end on a bad note. So, I mean, I think that's like one point of it. The other point of it is they could get so far invested into this relationship that he could change his mind. He may not want to change it now, but he may want to change it sometime down the road.
Yeah, I'm with Jenny. I wouldn't ditch him. I don't think this is a ditchable offense.
I'd say you can keep the tattoo, but you have to put this brand over it, like a hot brand.
Simple solution. Just before you
you get intimate, break out a Sharpie and just write laugh love under it.
Every time, sure.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The cast of The Golden Bachelor is out. Now, The Golden Bachelor is going to be a little bit different than the regular Bachelor. This is going to be a man in his golden years. We've already found out who the lead is going to be. It's 71-year-old Gary Turner. But I think there was a little bit of a fear of like, is it the Golden Bachelor because the Bachelor is just older, or will the contestants stay the same and be like 20 and 30 something?
They better be older.
Thank God. Yeah. They are all at least 60 years old.
Nice.
They just released a promo in the cast list yesterday, and I swear it looks like a massive season of The Real Housewives because they're all dressed in these really long, beautiful black ball gowns, and they have like a gold background behind them, and it looks like they're all about to do that Real Housewives intro where, you know, they spin around, they have that snarky little comment. These are also all career women or retired career women, which I know people will be very thrilled to get a break from the influencers. There's a couple retired real estate agents, a few health and wellness types, a couple of women who worked in education, like teachers and businesswomen, a designer, a former Chicago Honey Bears cheerleader, even a pro aging coach, which I would love to know what that does, and a therapist, which is very fitting for this type of show.
Yeah, a bunch of gilfs in here. I'm looking at them right now.
A bunch of what?
Gilfs. Grandmas he'd like to...
No,
is one of them named Jerry?
I don't know why.
No, Gary's
Patrick.
The...
Ooh. Okay.
One of the cast members, her name is Susan. I swear this is Kris Jenner in disguise. She looks exactly like Kris Jenner. I don't know if you had the cast list pulled up.
I do, yeah. I'm
Go
looking at it right now.
All the way down to the bottom. Look at Susan with the short black hair.
Look at Pamela at 75. You get it. Get it, girl.
Go, Pam.
Who were you talking about?
Her name's Susan. She's 60. Well, now I want to check
Me
out the
too.
List.
Okay,
pull up the cast. Wait, who are you?
Oh, look at Sandra at 75. Okay.
They're hot.
Oh, you're right. She
looks exactly like Kris Jenner.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, she's got different chiclets, but for the most part, they're the same person.
She's trying to weasel her way onto every reality show.
Look at that. Okay.
They're going to cross promote Keeping Up with the Kardashians probably. But something that people are really excited about is that a former Bachelor's mom is going to be in the cast as well. So Matt James was the Bachelor a couple years ago, and his mom, Patty James, she's 70. She's a retired real estate agent, kind of a babe, and she is going to be competing for Gary's heart, and I'm kind of rooting for her.
That 75-year-old that caught my eyes from Doraville.
Go get it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm excited. This is going to premiere on September 28th, and it airs Thursdays, not Mondays, on ABC. Okay, when was the last time you
were... Does it come on earlier than the other Bachelor?
Yes, it comes on at 6.
Actually, 5 for the early bird special. There will be a viewing party at the Village Inn.
Oh, 6 Eastern, 5 Central.
Okay, when was the last time you were watching your favorite show, and you thought, you know what would make this better? You know what would make this more enjoyable? More news. So Variety Magazine is reporting that Max, formerly known as HBO Max, is thinking about adding CNN news alerts that'll pop up while you're watching your show.
Absolutely.
So Kristen, while you're watching In Just Like That, and you know you're trying to stick it out and you know you're trying to enjoy it, CNN could be alerting you that Mitch McConnell was freezing in another press conference.
That was scary.
It was.
That was very scary. But no, man, I mean, that's your escape time, right?
Exactly.
Who thought that would be a good idea?
I like it if you can opt into it, but I had to disable news alerts because it was just a running death toll on my phone every day. And not to say those people don't deserve recognition and the news shouldn't be reported, but it was dragging me down mentally so much just to see plane crash and over here killed 3 people. And I'm like, I'm so sorry for them, but I don't need to know that before I've had my coffee. I hate this.
Right, it's a bad idea.
I hate it too. My first gig right out of college, I was digital producing and I had to read all of those news alerts. Like I had no option. I had to read them. And I have to say I have never been lower mentally. So if I can't opt out of this, I will be canceling my Max subscription. Okay, people are roasting Dua Lipa for a video she posted on social media.
This is so stupid.
This is so embarrassing for her.
I did see this picture. Didn't even think twice about it though.
Oh, oh, people are going after her. Yeah. So Dua Lipa just posted this video of her on vacation in Ibiza, and she is dressed. I just love saying Ibiza like that. It feels so fancy. So she is dressed in like this pristine, skin-tight outfit. She's got a scarf on her head. She looks like a model. Looks like she's just been lounging around all day.
That's her, like, MO. She just naturally looks like a model.
Yeah, honestly. But she just didn't look like she was sweating over a grill all day. So when she posted a video of her grilling some shrimp in Ibiza, people were like, okay, there's no grill noises. There's no smoke. There's no sound. It sounds like she was like, I look really good in this outfit, and I want a video of me cooking shrimp.
It was so bizarre. And, like, the shrimp were all piled on top of each. It made, like, there were so many, like, people who work in the food industry, like, this is a travesty.
Somebody did a close-up on some of the dials. It wasn't even on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It was really bad. Travis Scott pulled one of his tour dates in a city I'm not sure he's welcome in anymore. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, Abby's about to call out a bunch of her hypocritical friends here in just one second. Before we get to that, though, look, you got to be really, really careful with your Alexa here. Like, your kids are sophisticated with technology now, and it doesn't matter how old they are. There's a dude telling a story today that his five-year-old used their Alexa and ended up buying $5,000 worth of toys.
$5,000?
And a hot tub.
Like a style.
My five-year-old ordered almost $1,000 worth of toys on Amazon this morning. He even ordered a $500 hot tub. So parents, make sure you've disabled voice purchasing on the Alexa app.
All right, here's a sample of his kid hitting up Alexa. Now be careful if you're at the house, because your Alexa might go off here.
Alexa, get me a monster truck. It jumps 23 inches off ground. Alexa, add a little hot tub to my car. Alexa, get me a lazy river. It's 45 feet around. Alexa, add 112 water slides to my car.
So Alexa heard that and said, okay, you must have said hot tub.
That kid's like Alexa's a genie.
All right, Abby, let him have it.
Oh, this is one of the best parts about having a mic, because sometimes you get to blast your friends for being hypocrites. But I'm going to try and do this lovingly, because girl groups are notoriously hard to navigate, because usually there are friend groups within friend groups. And so I'm a part of this friend group that has about two different sides. There's four of us that are super close. We have really similar interests, similar personalities. We vibe really well. And then we have another half of the group that is, they're closer with each other than they are to us. And they, again, have different interests, different types of personalities. And sometimes we hang out together. But then there are other times when we just want to hang out separately. And so we have gotten into a little bit of a tiff in the group chat, because this weekend, my half of the friend group is going on a trip to Manhattan, and we're very excited about it. We all like to do the same things, drink and walk around and hit on guys, and that's what we like to do. And the other side of the friend group would rather go to, like, museums and, you know, do more touristy things, which is totally fine, but that's not what we want to do when we go to Manhattan. And so because we knew that, we did not invite them on this trip. And so we knew that if they found out, they were going to call us out for this. And so we have almost successfully kept it a secret for a couple of months. However, somebody decided to spill the beans. So a mutual friend of ours was hanging out with them and said, oh, are you guys going to New York with Abby and X, Y, and Z and X, Y, and Z? And they're like, they're going to New York? And
oh no.
Which I know makes us sound like a-holes, because why would you not want to invite your friends even if they have different interests? They can do different things. Here's my point of contention. They messaged us in the group chat kind of mad about this. And then in the other group chat with me and my friends who are going to New York, we got together and I'm like, do we finally call them out on doing this to us? Because this is the first time we've done it to them, but they consistently don't invite us to do things. So if we post things on Instagram of us getting margaritas together, they will always swipe up and be like, where was our invite? And we're just like, oh, laugh, funny. And they will do the exact same thing. So like if they go to the beach and it's just them, we never swipe up and go, where was our invite? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So basically, they have called us out in the group chat for not inviting them to our group trip when they consistently do this to us as well. And it's so beyond frustrating because we're going this weekend and we feel like they're already a little bit mad about this. We feel like we're not going to be able to post on Instagram and take the fun pictures and show what a great time we're having because the entire time we know that they're going to be guilting us for not inviting them when they do the exact same thing to us all the time. And it's for the same reason. We like to do different things, but we occasionally like to hang out together.
And that's okay. Like, not everybody has to hang out every single time, especially if they've done it before. Call them out.
So you and I are drastically different ages here. So is it not an option for you to go to New York and post the great time that you're having in New York just to alleviate the tension?
No, because they're going to swipe up and be like, looks like it's happy. You know, they're kind of like the guilt trippy type of friends. And
what I'm saying is don't post. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, but it's not a fun word.
You shouldn't have to do that.
I know. I have cute outfits planned. We are going to fun restaurants. And it's hard. It's been hard for us to get excited about this because, A, we felt like we haven't been able to talk about it freely because we were like, they can't know. And then they ended up finding out anyway. And then, B, it's just creating unnecessary tension when we feel the exact same way. We just care less because if they want to go do other things, that's fine. That's their prerogative. We just wish that they would be less hypocritical and not call us out for what they do to us all the time.
It's infuriating when somebody does something and it's okay for them to do it, but heaven forbid you have the audacity to do it and then they come down on you.
Yeah, like if they want to go to the beach with just them, that's fine. They don't have to invite us, but if we want to go to the beach and not invite them, then we're the mean ones.
Well, the good news is, this is all going to sort itself out once they hear this segment.
Or if they don't listen to the show. Sorry to break it to you.
Can you just send it to them?
No.
In the group chat, can you not call out the hypocrisy and be like, hey guys, the three of you have done stuff together and we never said anything about it. It's okay.
They're very sensitive, which is why they will not hear this segment. They're very sensitive in the sense that, like, if we said something, then we would just look mean. Which I'm not really sure that the segment is helping anyway, but it's a little frustrating when they're constantly doing something that's
delusional.
Yeah, go live your life.
Well, call them out. Yeah, call them out. I have a friend like this I had to call out, and he's very sensitive too, but he does the same thing to me. He goes everywhere and doesn't invite me. But every single time I go anywhere, I could go to dinner with my mom, and he's like, where's the invite, bro? Why would you be here?
Oh, I like this one. I like the passive-aggressive one when you're out, and then I get one or two from friends going, if I'm out at a restaurant with friends having drinks, I'll get the text that says, I like vodka.
Yes.
See, that's exactly what I mean. That's the stuff I'm going to be getting all weekend long.
So take this show as an example, okay? Imagine if every time Mo and Katie went out, I hit them up and I'm like, where was my invite?
I like pizza.
Bowling. That looks fun. I can't remember the last time somebody invited me to go bowling. Or like if Cassie and I were out doing something and then like Bert hit us up and was like, I would have liked to have gone to a park and hung out. Like WTF.
You don't got
to
worry about that.
I know.
He's like, if Cassie's there, I don't want to be there. That's
not and especially if your children are there, I definitely don't want to be there. Like everybody on the show, like there's different
there's cliques within the group, and that's normal.
It's 100% normal. And so for them to do it, but then to say something to you to make you feel bad for doing it, I'm incensed for you. And honestly, at a certain point, I don't care if they're sensitive. Like sometimes you have to have the mirror and throw it right in somebody's face so they can see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's not right for them to crap on your trip when you've never crapped on there.
Go live your life.
They're welcome to have a good time, but if you're wondering why I'm not post about New York this weekend.
Post.
I want to see every cute outfit. I want to see every outfit of the day while you are in New York. I want to see all the things. And then as you're driving by one of the museums, I want you to flick it off. Screw the Met.
Get it. The Burt Show.
You have heard us talk about Abby's podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, on the Pioneer Network, which I happen to own. And this thing's going on the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, going on the road is in like 20 minutes from my apartment. So we are doing this really fun live Breakup Breakdown brunch. The girls are going to be girling at Five Church in Midtown on September 23rd. I'm going to have some special guests coming through where we're going to do a live podcast where we're basically just going to be spilling the tea on some breakups. And we're going to have lots of delicious brunch. We're going to take pictures. It's going to be a really good time.
So Cassie and I bought our tickets. We will be there. Hey.
So if you've never listened to the podcast before, it's the most dramatic breakups you've ever heard of. And Abby interviews the participants in this breakup. So are some of them going to be there?
I've invited some of them. Okay. We shall see. TBD, because obviously we're doing it here in Atlanta. So if you're not local, it's kind of hard to come up, which is understandable. But I will have some special guests of people who have appeared on the podcast. Some rotating co-hosts. If you are a listener, you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Can I just say, so I've been listening to your podcast and it is it's fascinating. And I don't mean that to be like, it's actually fascinating, but it really is. Like when you hear these people's drama, because you would think like, why do I care? But it's so juicy.
It's so juicy.
I'm like, oh my God, I have to know what happened. Like you get so invested. You're such a good interviewer.
Thank you.
And the guests are really good too.
That's really nice. I don't know. These people genuinely like want to come on because when I first started this podcast, because some of these people are like complete randos that I just DM and I'm like, hey, I heard you went through a breakup. Do you want to come on? And people are so excited to talk about their trauma because, and a lot of these people have done the work. Like it's not just people coming on and being vindictive about their exes. Like, yes, of course we get the juice. Like yesterday we were talking about the thruple from hell where her husband was sleeping with their girlfriend right next door, wouldn't let her join in. It was just a whole thing. They really take a lot of lessons from this and it's like a deep dive into the human psyche as to why we stay in relationships that are not good for us. Because as somebody who can't even get into one, I don't understand why you would want to be in a bad one. But it really is interesting hearing people's reasoning and why they decide to stay. So it's really awesome and it's going to be so fun because I think it's great to listen to it in your car because it's just you in the interview. Mm-hmm. But when we're going to be in person, like we're going to get to react in person. You can cheer, you can throw things at us. It's going to be great.
Where can they get tickets and where's it going to be?
So it's currently linked in my Instagram bio. So my Instagram is at the Abby Murphy, ABBYMURPHY. And if you know what, if you're not a listener and you just want to come because you love the Burt Show, I will actually throw you a little discount code. You can use code Burt for a little 10% off freebie.
Well, okay. I wish I would have known that before we bought our tickets.
I'm taking your money, Kristen.
I wish we would have known someone who could have given us the hookup with free entry.
Right. I'll refund y'all out.
Absolutely not.
No way.
If you're a true friend, you mm-hmm. will always pay for something. That's why I bought your podcast book. It's why I bought tickets to Mosho. You support your friends. You don't expect free things for them.
Amen. You're a good person. A couple of you guys have sent me this from Reddit, and I wanted to pass this on to our short kings. I love this. Okay? In Atlanta, the headline on Reddit is casting short men in the Atlanta area. Okay? Hello. And you gotta remember this also, like in Hollywood and in movies, dudes are much shorter than they look like they are on the screen, right? Mm-hmm. Like Tom Cruise is like 4'2".
He's actually 4'3".
Hello, I am working on a serious, relatively high-profile project about the experience of being a short man in America and would love to speak to any guys out there who are 5'7 or less about the good, bad, and bizarre parts of being shorter than average. I got some really good responses with my previous post and hope there are still some of you out there willing to consider participating. Doesn't matter whether you're totally comfortable with your height or frustrated by it, whether you've never had an issue because of it, you liar, or if you've run into obstacles and or ever been bullied. We'd love to hear from you, especially if you're a short man in a tall woman couple or gay couple where one male partner is significantly taller than the other. And it goes on and on and on and on and says that if you want to check it out, just Google Reddit and it's under r/Georgia and it's one of the first things that comes up. Okay, short guys, so go get it.
Wow.
All right, Kaylee, how'd your wife get you in trouble this time?
She didn't get me in trouble. Well, I guess I would have gotten in trouble if she would have
actually went off and hit this woman. We went to Mercedes-Benz Stadium last weekend for the first time. I've never been there.
Really?
No. I've never been to an Atlanta United game, and I've never been to a show there.
It's awesome, right?
I just don't really want to deal with the traffic. But, yeah, so it was amazing. And I remember it being built and how just in awe you were just seeing that structure itself come together. It's like nice. A modern marvel. So we went and saw the Atlanta United play, and we had box seats. So we were in a box, which was pretty, because that's how I roll. I don't want to go there if I'm in regular, you know.
So you milked off of somebody else's suite.
Correct, absolutely. Actually, my wife is now the assistant coach for my daughter's soccer team, and so the main coach, his family has this box. And so I was like, is it going to be catered? Are we going to get free drinks?
Duh.
Hey, yeah. So
there is a reoccurring theme with your stories lately.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I mean,
that, right? You know,
I love, well, Kristen loves to support their friends. I love free stuff. I mean, it's just, anyway. So, and I was told that it's kind of hit or miss. Sometimes they'll have like the full buffet in the box, mm-hmm. and sometimes they won't. Well, this was a night they didn't, which was no big deal. I mean, it was epic. We had our own area. So we're going like a floor down to get our food and, you know, bringing our drinks up, which was kind of annoying because you only have two hands. And when my wife's every 5 minutes is like, will you go get me another drink? And then I'm like trying to balance three drinks and food. It's a total nightmare.
Yeah, it's tough to live that 1% of life.
So, yeah, right. So it was awesome. We won 3-0. Afterwards, when it starts to, when the game ends, everyone starts just piling out of these boxes, right? And, you know, we didn't have anything else to do there. And so we start walking by all these other boxes. And you could see people partying. And what's crazy is a lot of times when they bring in a buffet for these boxes, most of the time people don't even eat the food. Mm-hmm. So as you're walking by, you can see it empty. And then all the food is still just almost virtually untouched.
No, you didn't.
Come on.
No, you didn't.
No. So,
I have.
How drunk were you?
Well, in a random suite.
Nobody really questions you because most of the people in those suites are invited by other people. So you can walk into somebody's suite and they just assume you're going to be there. Yes, I've done that.
So we're walking towards the elevator and we're walking by, you know, random. Some people are still in there. And I walk by this one and I make eye contact with a guy that's in there, and he raises his hand up, and he's like, what up? And I, like, kind of backed up. And it was somebody that I haven't seen in, like, 20 years from, like, high school. And so I'm like, and I've got, like, 14 people with me, like, 9 kids. And he's like, come on in here and get some food. And so we start piling in there, and we start eating all his buffet.
Sure.
And so the help, I guess the waitresses, are trying to clear out. Like, and
of
go
course.
Home.
The game's over.
So and I just
leave.
Brought in 14 deep.
So
and my kids are taking cups and throwing and stacking them. And this lady called security on us because she thought we didn't belong there.
No.
Because we hadn't been in that box the entire night.
Right.
And we just took over this box. And we're just making a mess. And my wife got so mad because, like, we had every right to be.
Yeah.
We came from another box.
Right. And they invited
you. I mean, after the security, my wife was like, I want to hit that woman. Like, I really want to hit that woman.
Did you let her?
I wanted her to, but then again, I didn't want to have to deal with any of the repercussions.
Yeah,
from
getting arrested. That's probably no fun. Yeah,
but we ate good.
It's the Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.